Are you ready to record?
Dennis Schroeder.
Oh, what about him? What's your Schroeder hot take?
Does he start?
He does.
He doesn't start?
He starts tomorrow, that's for sure.
I think Dennis Schroeder and Russell Westbrook create one of the greatest mean mugging duos in NBA history.
Mean mug.
They love a mean mug.
They
face.
Do. That will cause so many problems for people.
I'm cold.
They're
going to
be like, those angry men.
Are you nervous?
I'm really nervous. I don't know, man.
Keep in mind, we've started.
Okay.
Oh.
The podcast.
I'd like to use all of that.
Okay, sure. Well, now we can't.
No, we can.
Okay.
Oh. No, we're going to break the fourth wall.
Self-care.
We're a podcast. We're speaking to the audience.
Wrong again, Tom.
Hello.
Hey, mate.
Hey.
Thank you, everyone, for joining me. I'm Olgun Ulic. If you don't know who I am, where have you been?
Where have you been for the last 3 years?
That's TV.
You're obviously not you.
Please. No, I write about basketball for foxsports.com.au. We have started our NBA podcast. I'm joined by the crew. Gadi Natelovic is over there. Say hello, Gadi.
Why does he
Hello, everybody.
Because he's my partner.
Partner in crime.
Gadi writes about basketball for our website also. And then we have some select members of the DBU team. So go ahead and introduce yourself, starting with you, Harrison.
I am Harrison Pullinger.
Spoiler. I am Ted, part of this DBU. Oh, Smith.
Just Ted, like Ted.
Ted Smith.
Yes.
Damn. DBU, you're up.
I'm Tom Handley.
We don't have a name for this podcast yet. I've tweeted out. I'll read the tweet to you. I've said we're recording our first NBA podcast for Fox Basketball. We should have started an hour ago, but we can't think of a name. That's true. Reply with your suggestion for a name, and we'll record them throughout the show. We'll pick one at the end of the show.
We have been thinking of a name, or for a name, for what? 3 weeks?
Yeah.
For a really long time.
More than an hour, so.
Yeah. More time than I want to invest in that.
Fun fact, Corey Homicide Williams just liked the tweet.
Oh, yeah.
Gave a suggestion.
Gave no suggestion. He liked the tweet.
What a helpful bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea is we're going to come up with a name throughout this show, hopefully. Hopefully everyone at home in real time right now will leave good suggestions for us. In the meantime, though.
If I think of one, can I just blurt it out?
Yes, please.
Okay. So
yes,
but they can't react to it like because... Will. Yes.
Okay. I'll just keep brainstorming.
Yeah, this is not a radio show. So...
Please call in.
The idea of this show, we'll talk everything NBA. Everything that comes up. At this point, this is recorded on a Tuesday night. We're all very, very tired because the season starts tomorrow and we've been working nonstop. And so what's the first thing we want to talk about? What's the biggest story of this offseason so far? As in heading into this season, what's on everyone's lips?
DeHoy. It's got to be LeBron.
LeBron?
Yeah, I think.
Wait, where did LeBron go?
He's in LA now. Ah, yeah, I know, right?
Is that where JaVale McGee is, right?
Yeah.
And Lance Stephenson. Yeah.
Oh. I'm pretty sure LeBron went there just for them as well. Okay. Like a team up.
Yes.
Honestly. Okay.
So big draw card, JaVale.
So that's the first thing, though. Like, what do we think about that? As in, LeBron James goes there, JaVale McGee goes there, Lance Stephenson goes there, Rajon Rondo goes there, Michael Beasley. What is going on?
Fun.
it's
going to be fun. With Rondo and LeBron, what people say they're a great passing team, right? But are those two in the top five passers in the NBA?
Yeah.
LeBron and Rondo? Because that's interesting, right?
Yeah.
And then what if Lonzo is as good as what we thought he was going to be at the start of last year in terms of his delivery?
Well, Lonzo was a good passer last year.
Yeah, but if he improves again, like where does he land on that list?
Yeah.
And then Lance Stephenson off the bench is also a very creative player. McGee's got good hands.
Are you saying that's a good or bad thing?
I think it's going to be good to watch. It's going to be lots of quality passes.
Well, see, that's the thing. Is it the sense that they're going to steal the ball away from each other? Because all of those guys, from LeBron to Lonzo to Rajon Rondo to Lance Stephenson to even Michael Beasley, I think these are guys who need the ball in their hands to be successful. You know, what do you think? Is it going to take away from each other? Is the idea that, like the Celtics back in the day, that it's just going to be the ball movement and just it's going to create this crazy team that's just run and gun and that sort of thing?
I think for the Lakers to take that step, the championship team cannot come from Rondo dominating the ball, Lance Stephenson dominating the ball, JaVale McGee playing big minutes. Like, the young guys need, like, they need to be stepping up. Lonzo needs to be delivering. Kyle Kuzma needs to have a, like, build on that year that he had last year. And Brandon Ingram could be the guy that takes that huge step into most improved player and could, like, could be that gel piece, that Pippen to LeBron's Michael kind of role where he's playing the defense and he does everything that LeBron won't be doing.
Is he good enough to do that?
I think he is now, yeah.
I knew you were going to say that, Tom.
Yeah. riding this wagon for like
he's
2 years
so
now.
He's skinny.
I called it last year he was going to have a breakout year, and he had glimpses of it.
No, it was
so he didn't have the breakout
year. He scored like 30-odd against the Warriors. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Brandon but Jennings then, scored 50 points in his rookie season. So
yeah, look where he is
how
now.
How often do you use that?
No, but I do agree. Like, Brandon Ingram, this is the time to step up. And if the Lakers are going to be, like, legitimate in the West, he has to be their second-best player, yeah. I think. Mm. Obviously, it'd be nice if Lonzo Ball, like, stepped up and his shot looked nice and all that sort of stuff. But Brandon Ingram is the guy with the highest ceiling of all the Lakers rookies, I believe.
Do you know who I reckon is going to, like, glue that team together? Josh Hart.
I am big on Josh Hart as well. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah. As the glue?
I think he's you Josh have Hart you got
the real glue guy.
I think you've got LeBron, who's just this leader man, and then you have the Lakers young core, which is Lonzo and Kuz and Brandon Ingram, and then you've got just
not yet.
Then you have this weird group of additions that's just super talented. The Misfits, yeah. And then you have just Josh Hart, who's this worker. He's not this you know, quote unquote sexy player. He's
so
just
it could
this
be
dude
like
who
Marcus Smart or something.
Yeah, he's like a really normal Marcus Smart in this group.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I don't hate that take.
But, yeah. Thank you.
But I don't know if he's I wouldn't be hinging the Lakers like chances on Josh Hart.
No, I mean he's no Joe Ingles.
Oh.
Right.
That great NBA player.
Harrison. Smiling in the corner.
Before we change it, where do you reckon they'll land, Olgan? Top four will they get?
No, I've got them I did a little prediction today. I've got them sixth or seventh.
Well, I think that's where they almost take them a little bit higher.
Really?
That's safe.
It's a weird one because
the West is so strong.
It is. But I think they're going to be surprisingly good. And they're pretty deep in the way it goes, you know?
LeBron James team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's where like there's the disconnect where it's like they shouldn't be good just because they've just suddenly just changed their entire team. But then LeBron brought...
But also, have we figured out what kind of LeBron we're getting in the regular season? Like... Because that defense isn't going to be great if regular season LeBron plays regular season.
Maybe we're getting
defense.
A new LeBron, though. Hollywood Bron.
Are we? Mm. Are we getting MVP
We've seen
LeBron?
It already. You see him on stage with Drake?
Yes. Oh, man.
He's having so much fun.
Yeah, he's got some moves.
He's having way too much fun in that city.
Which was my original point. Fun. That's what the Lakers will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, whether they work or they don't work, it's going to be fun to watch. Because they, like, the JaVale McGee, Stevenson, Rondo, Beasley thing is either going to work or it's going to, like, implode spectacularly.
Do you see there being a mid-season change where there's just a complete overhaul?
If things go, like, yeah, I could see LeBron getting, like, really frustrated, losing patience with, like, Beasley and JaVale and maybe Lance. Mm. I don't know. Like, Lance, if he pulls him, he's a good enough basketball player to stay on the Lakers roster, but I could see LeBron, like, trying to push some of those
dudes out.
Get
Lillard in there. Lillard.
Mm. Well, the way I've looked at it is that there's a lot of questions about the personalities that Stevenson, Beasley and all that are. But I think there's nothing more humbling than having the greatest player on the planet on your team. These guys have always been fighting to be the number one option all the teams have been on respectively. But now that there's no doubt that they're not.
But Lance, we've got video evidence of Lance not caring who LeBron James is.
Mm. Well, when he's like
playing against him, that's just trying to get into his mind. Though.
The only reason I disagree with you is like watching them in preseason, they are messing around. Like they're having that sort of like, oh, this the nothing matters thing. And that turns very quickly with LeBron. Like when things are going well, he's fun. He's nice to be around. I remember when Jordan Clarkson first got traded to the Cavs and he had that game where he wasn't missing threes and LeBron was like running out into the court during a 3-point celebration. Like that quickly changed when like he was like, okay, Jordan Clarkson isn't going to keep doing this every year. So if the fun stays, but the results kind of turn to whatever, I don't know how happy LeBron will be.
Okay, watch me segue. Fun. How fun is it what's happening in Minnesota?
What a smooth segue. Ooh,
great.
So smooth.
Great segue. What the hell? So for those who don't know, Jimmy Butler requested a trade. Tom Thibodeau don't want to trade him. And so he decided to just sit out for a while, then come back and dominate a practice I've called it he terrorized his entire group.
Ogun Ulich did term that. Yeah. He
I put that in the story.
Yep.
He terrorized the entire group, and suddenly he's just not going to get traded in, like, soon.
Was it the owner or the GM that said, "I want him gone after"?
So the owner is urging the front office to get rid of him.
Yeah.
As in, just to, let's get rid of this drama.
Yeah.
Because we don't need this. But Tom Thibodeau is still trying to convince him to stay.
Yeah.
Which sounds just so, I feel like, so bad for Thibs. But
it's his last year if he doesn't make the playoffs. And the only way he can make the playoffs is with Butler. He's trying to save his own job.
Man, if Butler stays, he's playing like 48 minutes a game. Thibs won't let him leave.
That's what he does to him every year. That's what he's talking about. That's probably why he wants to leave. Is Butler a bozo? He just...
I like him.
I do like him.
Yeah.
He has fun on the court. He tries heaps hard. But I think he's might have lost himself a little bit. If 2K had ratings for self-awareness, I think between 29 and 42 max.
Well, yeah. I mean, he pulled the whole, like, Kobe, MJ thing at training, and it seemingly worked in the anecdote that
and
we heard.
He's also not done
that on a court ever.
And then he had, like, an interview with Rachel Nichols right after, which is just
he definitely set that up.
That was such a interview, though.
Mm. I know.
But it kind of comes across as fake when you think about, like, they had to get her down to Minneapolis.
Yeah, she just happened to be there that
day. She's in LA. They had to get her down to Minneapolis, which means he was like, I'm going to come in, I'm going
to
dominate,
see the
and then I'm going to do an interview. Like,
what size?
But how does Carl Anthony Towns and Wiggins respond, though?
Like, Wiggins will respond by not playing.
Just being torched in trading with the third stringers.
But Wiggins has just come out saying, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy that I want to have. Yeah,
Wiggins has come out just really, like, almost like a child.
Yep.
Who's just been, he's like, in Woj's story, he apparently, like, dapped Jimmy Butler on the way out.
Yep.
So imagine just being dominated by this man. He's been like, oh, good job, man. Like, really great effort. And then he comes out to the media and says, we need this guy. Mm. And so Wiggins is shook.
Yeah.
Carl Towns is trying to be the man. But it's just not working because Jimmy Butler's so much, well, not so much, but just right now, just better than him.
And don't forget, Wiggins' brother was in, like, a social media feud with Jimmy Butler, which makes it even funnier that Wiggins is now, like, fully like, please be my friend.
Well, the heat surrounding Wiggins is that he does enough to get big contracts, but doesn't really care about winning, which is part of Butler's suggested problem with Wiggins. That kind of feeds it, right? Him just being like, oh, yeah, everything's sweet. I like Jim. Mm.
Yeah, so, well, Butler said that Wiggins was the most, like, physically gifted player that they had.
Yeah, yeah.
Towns was the most talented, and Jimmy worked the hardest, and that's the problem.
That sounds like such a good big three. It sucks that that's never going to work out.
It looks like it could have been, but
just on paper, that's sick.
There are so many stats in Wiggins throughout. This will be his third year, right, or his fourth?
2004?
You've thrown us into
Yeah. Dang, was it 2014?
It's got to be his fifth because he traded when LeBron went. LeBron played.
He was the Exum draft. That's 14.
Yeah.
Dang.
Like, there's a bunch of his stat lines that haven't improved.
It's the same narrative every year.
Yeah. Like, he's just
it never changes.
Getting better.
Yep.
It's like, oh, well, this year.
Mm.
No, maybe not.
But then he shows that flash where he goes for 45.
Yep. He's a great athlete.
He drops like six three-pointers.
Yep.
Oh, it's infuriating.
Yeah.
And then Towns, on the other hand, looks like, you know, a boss for the future. But then in the playoffs,
stinks it up.
Mm. He doesn't look like a man.
4 points in their exit game? I mean...
In the defense of that Minnesota team, though, and Towns in particular, the emotions going through playing that last game against Denver... Where the spot's on the line. Did it go into overtime?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Like, that was game 82 for your space in the playoffs. And, like, the emotional build-up to that game, the high of making the playoffs, that's got to end. And then you've got to walk into a series against one of the best offenses in the league. And you've got to try and chase Clint Capella up and down the court. And they're in the playoffs for weeks.
Yeah.
I think Towns just kind of got exposed because... In the regular season, he is so talented that he can put up 20 and 10 in a game and not really have pushed himself. And that's the problem. Like, I think that's Jimmy's problem with him. It's like, you can be the best player in the league if you want to be.
Yeah, it looks like he could try harder.
Because you look at his box score and you're like, wow, Towns had a great game.
Yeah.
And he did, but, like, he could have had a better game.
Yeah.
And if they're not winning games, which they weren't when Jimmy was out, then what's the point?
Just think of how good a big man you have to be the man on a team. Karl Towns has to be the man of that team, just like Joel Embiid is.
Well,
just
you can't
like
want Butler's there, though.
Right. I also just don't think he's good enough at this point, or he hasn't shown that he can is talented enough to do that. Not talented enough, but as in he hasn't produced like Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic, someone who, you know, big guys who are the respective men of their team. If that makes sense.
Minnesota is a place where good players go to have average careers, like in terms of success. Like Kevin Love was putting up, what, 2014 and didn't make the playoffs once. Yeah. So
big shout out to Kevin Garnett for
big ticket getting MVP.
We're going back.
Yeah, we're going. We're stretching.
Can I throw out some potential names that have been offered to me?
Please.
So the first one we got is from Josh Lloyd. Shout out to Josh Lloyd. He's one of the best fantasy analysts out there. He said, "We're trying, Jennifer." What was that?
CJ McCollum.
Jennifer
was like, make the playoffs, and he's like, we're trying, Jennifer.
So that's got four likes already. If I'm scrolling through this, this man, Steve Marston, says, I had one back in the day called To the Baseline. Thanks, Steve.
Coach Carter stuff.
The Fun Guys. That's from Simon.
Fun Guys.
A bunch of
it's misleading.
We've got a bunch from Michael Beveridge.
From my
bunch,
okay, the bunch.
No.
We have a bunch.
One man named Michael Beveridge.
So let me just go through these. Take that for podcast. Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Oh, geez, Michael Beveridge is still replying. The full 94 feet.
Full 94 feet.
That seems like a giant unnecessarily sandwich. Depictive.
Okay, we've got the deli edition.
That's another sandwich.
This is from Michael Beveridge as well. The air up, yeah, nah.
Oh, what?
No. Yeah, that's coming second behind Jennifer.
And then we've got the Fox Basketball Podcast.
I feel like we're trying Jennifer's very funny right now. I'm just trying to figure out how funny it will be down the track.
And for the
how relevant it will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for the heaps of people who don't know what the reference is.
Yeah, and limits it. It's like, what if Jennifer wants to listen?
That's true. Last one for now I'll throw out there, John Pendlebury, the NBL show.
That's funny.
It's the wrong league.
Interesting.
That's funny.
Yeah.
The chicken sausage roll.
Okay, well, not the NBL show.
Michael Beveridge is coming through. Not the sausage roll. Oh, the pick and sausage roll.
Yeah,
I don't mind that.
Yeah,
it's gonna make me hungry every time I do a podcast.
let's not dive in on one just yet.
Not yet. We've thrown those out there. Let's let that kind of like fester in our brains. And
if we got a bakery on board, I'd be down for the pick and sausage roll.
Can we get
my waistline does not need that.
Thanks, Tom.
You look great, Tom.
Thank you.
Speaking of waistlines, no, I'm not going to do that. Carmelo Anthony's on the Rockets.
Oh,
you
kind of
did it.
I did it, but I didn't.
you did it respectfully.
Love you, Melo.
You made me think it.
What is happening there? So we've got Melo, who's this? Are we going to see Olympic Melo? Is that the consensus?
Is that corner Melo?
It's basically corner Melo, pick
might
and pop Melo.
For like 2 weeks, and then we're going to get Melo being like upset that he's still the sick man.
He's going to get the ball, dribble.
Yeah, it's going to be like, well, I've been doing this one thing for a really long time, and I'm in his head, in his mind, he's like the best at it.
Yeah.
So he's just going to be like, no. If they're not winning like every game, he's going to go back to New York.
Surely they're going to be winning most games.
I don't know. Early season, I feel like they could have some struggles. But either way, I feel like Melo's going to eventually get to that point where he's like, I want to take some mid-range jumpers, please.
I just think surely he's got the self-awareness to be like, Chris Paul's on my team, James Harden's on my team.
He didn't have it last year, and he had Russell Westbrook and Paul George.
I feel like they're different, though, because James Harden and Chris Paul are, you know, they're passing guards. Like, that's their game at this point, other than James. Sure. Like, James Harden led the league in assists, like, 2 years ago.
Guardy's saying it's hard to change who you are.
Totally, right? Yeah.
Like, Melo probably thinks he's the best player on the team still.
Sorry?
I'd argue Melo probably thinks in his head he's the best player.
Totally. Yeah. That's reasonable, though, because he's been the best player.
For Melo to think that is reasonable.
Yeah. It's reasonable to think such, I think.
Yeah.
Go back to that self-awareness rating on probably in the teens.
But yeah, like, at one point, Melo was the best offensive player in the league. I think that's not questionable.
Yeah, but he's so far away from that now. Yeah.
Totally.
As long as we can agree on that.
Yeah. But Houston, I think they'll win just shy of what they won last year, which means if Golden State limp in stages of this season like they did last season,
yeah,
they could still get numero uno spot, which would be...
You think the Rockets win the West?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I feel like we saw the worst of the Golden State like addition last year, like regular season-wise.
But they know that'll do. They know that will do.
No, I know, but like I just don't see them. They were so bad last year, the Golden State Warriors. Like the amount of effort they were putting in compared to previous years was pretty awful. I think it's going to take a lot from the Rockets to win as many games as they did last year as well, because there's a bit of roster change up. There's not as much consistency there.
And Chris Paul as well, always a question mark on his availability.
Because he seems like he's on the decline, like, but just bit by bit.
Yeah.
Like there are stretches throughout the season where you see that.
Guys, just as confused as I was when they signed him on for another 4 years.
It's a long and expensive
contract. What they had to do to win now and keep him, sort of thing.
That was, we're going to pay you for 4 years so we can get 2 years of Chris.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, how old is he at the end of that?
They'll be able to trade him to Sacramento or something in 2 or 3 years. Yeah.
Also, just remember how Chris Paul got injured in the playoffs, which ultimately kind of killed their hopes of beating Golden State because they pushed so hard in the regular season.
Yeah.
Do they do that again? I don't know. Like, they might have.
I think they have a deeper team
it.
That they can actually, you know.
Do they?
Not defensively.
I think a little bit
That's
more.
That's a problem.
But I think surely, Brandon Knight gives them a bit more of offense.
Surely these teams, when there's only, God, how many teams that can contend for the title this year? Like, actually, honestly, two?
One.
Wait, overall or in the West?
Overall.
Three.
Yeah, okay,
Boston.
So there's three.
I put Boston.
I put Boston in there easily.
There's three teams that can contend. Why not take a leaf out of Pop's book and play the regular season easily? Like, once you get to the playoffs, there are three legitimate teams.
Last year, Houston had the belief that we can only beat Golden State if we get home court.
Yeah.
And it's probably accurate to this, like, for this year as well. But whether they decide that it's better to have a healthy Chris Paul, a healthy James Harden, a healthy roster in general. I don't know. I don't know what's better for them.
But see, that's the thing is, if the Rockets, for example, if they don't get home court, I'm not entirely sure they beat the Jazz in 7 games if they don't have home court. I'm not entirely sure they don't beat the Spurs.
But I'm not saying that rest your players enough so that you're sitting fifth or sixth. Yeah. I'm saying that you don't need to win 65.
You don't need to go games. For the best record in the league.
If you're not good enough to beat the Jazz or the Spurs without home court, you're not good enough to beat the Warriors with home court. So that's
fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you're underestimating the Jazz a little bit. I don't know why I'm so high on the Jazz.
Everyone seems to be high on the Jazz, and it's annoying me. I don't get it. It's just because there's a whole bunch of assumptions that everyone's going to get like infinitely better.
No, it's the assumption that Donovan Mitchell is going to get better, and team will remain really
stay fit for the whole year. And like, yeah, I get it, but it's just everyone needs to relax.
Why do you hate Utah?
Donovan Mitchell took a giant leap from his last year at college to his rookie season in the NBA. I'd be surprised if he made another giant leap.
Yeah.
I think he improved out of sight last year. So,
over the course of the year as well, like his efficiency towards the end of the year was light years away from what it was at start.
Yeah.
So if he, like, even if he just plays that, that end of season form, they had the best defense last year, no?
Yeah.
Stifle Tower, bro.
Yeah. So like they've still got a great defense.
I think they had the best when Rudy was playing or something.
Yeah.
No, Celtics had the best.
They had the best defensive rating.
Really?
In the league.
In the league.
Take it back.
Yeah.
Maybe
do your research before we record our big podcast.
You've still got the best defense. You've got a Donovan Mitchell who's scoring efficiently. You've got Joe Ingles who's going to give you
a great man.
And then you've thrown in a wild card, Grayson Allen. And Grayson Allen,
he's looked good,
exciting, and he's looked really good.
Like sneaky athlete.
Yeah. And like he, I think, has the same kind of tendencies as Donovan Mitchell had, where it's like, is he jumping off 1 feet or 2 feet? Mm. And can he change that and finish more efficiently?
He's crafty, hey.
I'm sold. I'm also all in on the Jazz now. Thanks for the
break. I'm just going to sit on this island of Jazzy. Like Jazz.
Changing minds on We're Trying Jennifer. That's very cool. Segue again, sophomore slumps, Donovan Mitchell. Will he go through one? And then let's go through the other guys who could potentially do such a thing.
I don't think he does. No. Because everyone always says that they go through a sophomore slump because they've got a year of tape on them now. But like Harrison was saying, he improved so much over the year. He got even more efficient. So it's proven that he can adapt his game.
Yeah, I feel like he's a dude who's, he works really, he's got that killer instinct. Yep. There aren't many dudes who have that.
He's got that Mamba mentality.
It's an annoying
Mamba
cliche because it gets overused, but I think it does.
It's correct here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get you then. What about Ben Simmons? Averaged basically 16, 8, and 8. still, the jump shot is still suspect. He's worked on it a little bit. I don't know how well it's going to look as far as in a game.
If you look at the players he compares to in terms of rookie seasons, you're talking about the best of all time. And those kinds of players don't have drop-offs in their second year.
Yeah.
He was comparable to like Magic Johnson.
It was Magic and Oscar. Mm-hmm. Those were the two names.
I think they did all right in their second seasons.
So, I'd like to turn this on you, Ogun Ulic, moderator, because no one follows Ben Simmons closer than you.
Okay.
What's your take?
I think he has a better season. As in the story I wrote today, I think I had him going basically for 19, 9, and 11.
Does he threaten
like
with
that?
The triple double?
I think he averaged 16, 8, and 8. That's
yeah.
really, really
in
good.
That rookie year, yeah.
Does it depend on Markel, though, and what Markel is?
It depends a little bit on Markel, just because he's not going to stretch the floor like JJ does, especially when Markel's going to start the season starting. But the one thing that scares me a bit is Michael Carter Williams. I'm not saying he's.
Oh my God.
I'm not saying he's comparable to Ben. But he's a bigger point guard who didn't shoot it that well, and he dropped off completely. Now I think he's going to be okay this season. I think Michael Williams is going to have a good season with the Rockets, but his sophomore year was just not that good.
Yeah, I think he was traded like crap though.
Yeah, that's true. The culture's different.
He was throwing down triple doubles, and they were looking at ways to trade him because they wanted to tank.
Yeah,
how do you come through that with any kind of confidence?
That's right.
The process.
Also, Ben Simmons is like an all-time athlete.
Yeah, if you put those two next to each other and really looked at them, be like, I'll probably take Ben.
Yeah, let's be clear. I'm not comparing like, the two, off? but you can see the slight comparisons with regard to the way they play.
Yeah,
get
it.
And they're both in Philly. So we think Ben is. Do we think he's going to get better? Do we think he's going to remain?
It's an Australian NBA podcast. Yeah, he's going to get better, bro. Jesus.
What about?
Come to foxsports.com.au for the whole ride.
So look, we'll touch on just one more of those players, Jason Tatum. So yeah. he's a dude who he didn't start slow, but he was just a pretty good rookie throughout the season. Like I'd say he was a good rookie throughout the season. Then he really elevated to become a great player. Just in general, yes. In the playoffs, does he have a drop off now that Kyrie Irving's back? Now that Gordon Hayward's back, what do we think?
You just think they have to, really.
Statistically,
statistically, there's just not enough minutes to share the floor.
Is that going to hurt him?
I think stats wise, like he will have a massive drop off, but he's such an efficient scorer, and he's so pretty going to the rim.
You've got to have faith in that coach too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
cannot play against.
You also got to think about the ease.
Tatum's going to be fine.
Yeah, like the ease of bucket for him this year versus last year. That's a new term.
The ease of bucket.
Yeah, that's a
discussion.
Some of the shots he was hitting last year were like they got everyone excited because they were kind of ridiculous. He won't have to hit those sort of shots this year with Kyrie and Gordon.
More space.
There. Like they're going to get all the attention, and he's going to get a lot more open looks. And I'm pretty sure he only averaged like around 13 points a game last year or something.
Really?
Somewhere around there.
In the playoffs, it would have gone up to like 18.
Maybe, look, I could be wrong on regular season, but I don't see his numbers actually dropping off that much because I think he just becomes a more efficient version of himself.
That does make sense.
I like that take.
Can we also get, just for next week, can we get a bugle and then ease of bucket? Just can we get that as a drop?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to progress. Please welcome Ease of Bucket. all right, I'm just going to quickly rattle off some more because we're getting so many. The Patty Mills towel waving extravaganza. Mm. That's from Michael Beveridge again. I don't know.
Can we get personalized towels?
Do we have to pay Michael Beveridge?
He's given so many.
Wow. Yeah.
Has
Vinnie
Michael
Vaughn?
Beveridge been collecting these over a number of years, waiting for one?
He's been preparing like as long as we have for this podcast.
So if I throw out the dime. Surely that's
done. That's got to be done.
Fox Aussie Hoops podcast. Oh. Very original, David Smith.
Direct.
Very descriptive.
Michael Beveridge with more. The Southern Hesisphere.
Oh, what?
The Muggsy Bogues draft.
Okay. What about Muggsy Bogues?
You got to read that for that to make sense, though, because it's draft isn't a beer.
Yeah.
Not a tap beer. Yeah.
Yeah, well done.
That, but,
yeah,
right. Okay.
I thought I was missing.
It's a good spot, boy, you, Thomas.
Yeah. That's all we got. The winner at this point with 9 likes is still We're Trying Jennifer. Sorry, guys.
I would not be against it.
You wouldn't be against it?
I'll go on the record to say that.
All right, so we went through the sophomore slumps. Ben Simmons was a part of that. Obviously, Simmons is the point guard for the 76ers. We spoke about Jason Tatum. Do we think that's going to be a rivalry? speaking to as in is it already so speaking to the players on both teams, they expect it to be. I think they see it as a rivalry.
The next great NBA rivalry.
You reckon
between these two?
Do you think it's that in that? Because
they got such young cores, they're going to be doing this forever.
Yeah, they're the same age.
Yeah, they're all the same age, and they're going to be doing this for so long. And my God, I cannot be any more excited.
Yeah. Let me ask this though: is Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward involved in the all-time rivalry, or do they kind of?
I think they're guests. Hey,
yeah. I got that feeling. You know?
Like Gordon, like they're gonna go to, like in the playoffs together, and Gordon Hayward's gonna go and be like, "Hi guys," and be like, "Who are you?"
It feels like in the doco that eventually
chuck him a towel in the 30, that, thanks.
In the 30 for 30, we eventually look back and go like, at the start there was Kyrie and Gordon, and then then it took over.
Yeah. And they're both kind of like quiet assassins as well. They're very loud on the court. You compare that to the Sixers this preseason, there was a lot of snarls. There was a lot of man yells. I saw Simmons do, you know, the LeBron face.
He
did the LeBron face.
That was the dunk in China. That was the dunk in China on the Mavs.
That's good by you. And it kind of looked like they're taking the mentality of trying to be bullies this year because they're huge, dude. Yeah. Seven foot point guard.
Big team.
Big Embiid. Massive. Intimidating dudes. Remember when Detroit tried to stick it to Simmons last year?
Yeah.
And Simmons like, what?
And Miami tried to as well.
Yeah. Mm. So as a rookie, Simmons could give it as well as it was getting dished out to him. If they try and bully Boston, it's going to be an awesome rivalry, dude.
Yeah, it really will.
In face, like yelling.
Like Marcus Smart on the floor.
Dang.
I love that kid.
I only like him because he ended up in Boston. It's perfect for Marcus.
Yeah.
Beverage again, the Australia. Like Australia,
he's running out now.
I really appreciate his effort.
Yeah,
like, oh no,
he's so slowing much effort down.
Big ups to Michael.
Yeah. We came up with like three names in about an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
We're sitting here, so
they sucked.
So the Sixers are the team that trusted the process. That paid off. Obviously, they're you know a perennial playoff team at this point. Potentially a title contender?
Nope.
Okay.
Eventually.
Eventually, sure.
We'll trust the process, Gary.
It's not this year.
So then we think, who's the other team that should trust the current process? So what's the team that we currently see that is in the midst of a rebuild and it looks like it's going to be successful?
Well, it depends if you like Trae Young or not.
Do you think that's what it boils down to? That
gross.
If you like Trae Young, like if you think
so
he can succeed,
so many other things need to be fixed in Atlanta, though.
Yeah,
okay, continue.
Well, that's like, it's not built. We're building.
Okay,
yeah. All right.
Sure. Is it Lloyd Pierce's first year in Atlanta? Yeah, be fine.
Mm.
I mean, I like John Collins. I do like Taurean Prince. I feel like those are two.
You hate Trae Young, don't you?
No, I love Trae Young.
I like that they're building with an identity. I know it's someone else's identity.
Sure.
Right, but like they've got a scheme. They're putting the players in place. It's at the risk of at the cost of Doncic in the draft. You know, so they've definitely got an agenda. But
yeah,
it's
they have a juicy amount of cap space coming up next.
Well, they should because they don't have many good players on their team.
$53.5 million.
But if you're a free agent.
Yeah, is it an enticing place to go? Like, let's go to Atlanta and win some basketball. It's not really what anyone
Trae
says.
Young. As in, like, Atlanta's not nice enough. Atlanta's a lovely city, but it's like, what do you have? You have, like, an aquarium and then
CNN. If you like hip-hop. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. If you get to...
Spotify.
Mary Mac Soul Food Restaurant, I think that's what it's called.
Maybe Dame can get go down there. That's when his rap career really blows up.
Maybe.
Wow. Well, who else you got? I've got one. I get shot
which...
down. You say something.
I've got one which...
Sorry,
Kev. Cool, bro. I've got one which could be an absolute disaster and it could actually pan out, and that's Sacramento Kings.
Mm.
And at the moment, their roster is an absolute mess. Like, half their cap space, half their roster is over 6'10".
Bloody D-backs, like, let's just get centers.
It's just an absolute
lobby. I like to look eye to eye to people when I talk to them.
But the Kings will fall into the Sacramento River before they start succeeding as a basketball team.
But De'Aaron Fox... I think he's real. I think he.
I'll buy that. I do like De'Aaron Fox.
And last year, they copped a lot for being a terrible team, which they were, but they played with the slowest offense because they were trying to feed the ball through Randolph. And this year they're going to be like, okay, we can't do that.
Zach Randolph,
run.
I love Zach Randolph.
Mm. Yeah, this is funny.
And if they run, like, you've got Bagley, who, like, I'm not really sold on Bagley, but if he becomes a potential all-star, you've got Fox, you've got Bagley, you've got Giles, you've got
Buddy
Scowl.
Buddy Hield, the next Buddy.
They're,
yep.
Yeah, like, if Buddy Hield is a serviceable six-man.
Got Bogdanovich.
You're starting to put together a team which could potentially be okay.
And they've got $58 million worth of cap space next year.
The only crappy thing is...
No one wants to live in Sacramento.
Sacramento's not that bad.
Okay. Yeah.
It's the capital of California.
It's like the Delaware of the West Coast.
But it's also not far from nicer places, so it's okay. It's like a 1.5 hour drive.
They
just need to show
that they're an organization that can actually like pull it together. Otherwise, no one's gonna sign their long term.
Well, it's this year's gonna be the deciding factor because they don't have a first round pick next year.
Yeah.
This is the worst part, Ted. You are gonna cry when you hear this. If Sacramento are the worst team in the league and they win the draft lottery and they get the first round pick, goes to Philly.
Oh my god.
If they get anything from 2 to 30, which they have to, when they get 2 to 30, it goes to Boston. Oh, how?
What trade was that in? I was trying to figure it out. How did they get that pick? How did that happen? Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Whose idea was that?
Big ups to Vladdy for a really great job.
Jesus. Boston and
You're doing
Philly.
Great, kid.
Probably traded for one of his seven centers.
And the one they let go is Boogie.
Yeah.
Of all things, yeah. The man loves centers and he gives away one of the best ones in the league.
Do we like Orlando as a team that has a budding future? Harrison's head is in his hands.
Harrison is an Orlando fan, for context.
Do we like that at all? You've got Mo Bamba, Jonathan Isaac... end of list? Is that
who's going to dribble the ball up the court for him?
DJ Augustine.
DJ Augustine.
Yeah. No, he can shoot some threes sometimes. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
So can Tom. Yeah. I mean.
Orlando's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, I feel sorry for you, man.
An Orlando fan, I'm looking forward to the draft lottery for the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think all of your eggs are in Aaron Gordon hopefully turning into LeBron James somehow.
Yeah. I think the...
Seems likely.
The general manager, and don't quote me on this, but I think the general manager was in Milwaukee when they took Giannis.
No.
And I think he has this crazy thing in his head, which is if he just picks a guy with a really long wingspan... He will find
it could
the
be. Oh, wow. So he's done that with every his last three picks.
Like Mo Bamba, biggest wingspan ever.
Yeah. Like
greatest player ever. Yeah. Flawless.
And it's just, I mean, how many Giannises are there really?
Yeah.
Like, it's and Giannis, not going to work.
Just sounds like Giannis was a fluke for this dude.
Yeah.
Like, wingspan.
Sweet. Worked out so well.
Yeah.
So Orlando, no. In short, no. I'm not buying Orlando as being in the upswing of their rebuild.
Dang.
They have Disneyland. You got that going for you.
But it's like bad. There's not even the good Disneyland.
No tax.
No taxes?
No tax.
Yeah, you're not paying taxes. Yeah. So.
But then like you also, in Orlando, you're not Miami. So it's like.
It's not good
Florida.
It's Florida.
Amway,
it's proper Florida.
Yeah, really it's cool. Not. That's not South Beach, Florida.
Yeah, no, they suck, man. who else? I mean,
I think the Lakers are a team who I think so. Phoenix is one.
Yeah.
So the Lakers are one that they're still in kind of not in the midst of a rebuild, but as in like they were in the midst of a rebuild and then they just added LeBron.
Yeah, that
as in like Lonzo and
fair.
I know, but Lonzo and Kuz are second year dudes.
What bigger steroid than adding LeBron to a rebuild?
Do you think LeBron helps the rebuild or do you think he hinders it?
I'm pretty sure he turns it to built.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
This is built. The Suns.
Are you talking about the players developing?
So Lonzo Ball is, you know, this point guard out of LA who's, you know, just should be dominant on the ball and supposed to shoot at a 40% clip. He did that in college and then gets to LA, has a pretty, he has an okay year. And now he's got a team around him where he's not going to be in control of the ball.
Well, at least the bright lights aren't on him. I don't, you know, there's going to be pros and cons.
Yeah.
Because he was getting a lot of attention, not just last year, but the 6-8 months leading up to the draft as well.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's kind of sweet.
It is. The pressure being off of him will be the thing that helps him the most. I think that's as clear as day.
Has anyone else noticed how suspiciously quiet LaVar Ball has been?
LaVar's
yeah. No, it seems
like a while.
He's still being loud. There's just no one putting a microphone in front of his face. Good,
yeah. That's true. I feel like it's because the mics are in front of LeBron's face now.
Yeah. What better way to shut up him than bring in one of the biggest names in sports?
Oh, I reckon word went around the campfire to be like, let's just stop interviewing him.
Yeah. Mm.
And they did.
I also like the idea that part of getting LeBron was like, he's a really great player, maybe one of the best players of all time, you know, dominant player. But like, maybe he'll stop LeVar Ball from doing interviews. Like, that's also like a bonus there.
We need to get LeBron.
Last one on the up and coming teams, the rebuilding teams, Phoenix Suns. Obviously, they've got a guy like Devin Booker who dropped 72 points. In like a weird, like arbitrary manner in some sort of game.
Still 72 points.
Still 72. DeAndre Ayton, I think, will be rookie of the year. You know, they've got a decent situation going on there. Do we think they're in the midst of, do you think they're still rebuilding, or do you think they're going to try and climb out of that rebuild?
Josh Jackson was really good last
year. Josh Jackson had a good end of the last season.
Yeah, and now he gets to learn off a guy who almost have the same skill set in Trevor Ariza.
That's true.
I mean, what else do they need to add? I think you just go all in on developing this core you have now and see where you're at in 2 years. I know it's rare to be patient with teams, but if they can do that, then I think you've got most of your building blocks there.
Yeah, I think their thinking right now is probably on point, which is let's try and get a good point guard, just an actual seasoned, developed point guard.
I was just about to say, who runs the point?
That's the question.
I think it's Isaiah Cannon at the moment.
So Isaiah Cannon, I don't know if he's still... if he's healthy, because he broke his ankle. He went through
pretty
that Gordon Hayward injury.
Yeah, pretty sure he's healthy again.
It's a dude who, with respect, I don't know his name. It's a co-o. I gotta find out his name. I feel really horrible about this. But we're gonna find this out right now.
I think Phoenix, like, they obviously struck gold with Devin Booker in the draft. Where they really missed out was Dragan Bender. Like, that pick really looks terrible. They're like that one really good young star away from being a team where everyone's like, oh, Phoenix are the most exciting rebuild.
Yeah.
And if Bender was that, then sure.
I think they took Alex Len top five.
That as well. He's gone now.
And
he
plays for the Hawks now.
Yep.
Eli Okobo. Eli Okobo is
a nice guy.
A potential starting point guard for this Suns team. That's not ideal. So look, I've got a bunch more of these, and they're all from Michael Beveridge.
I love this guy.
The 13th man.
Sure. Yeah.
Carmelo Koalas. This is from Mark Houston.
Sounds delicious.
That's not bad.
That's not the name of a podcast, but big ups to Mark Houston for that one. The William McDowell White college admission dilemma. That's a little in joke with Australian basketball too. William McDowell White tried really hard. So look, we're going to keep admission. We're going to keep this open because we've got nothing. The winner is still we're trying, Jennifer. We're not going with that at this point. We'll think about it.
Could I slide one more rebuilding team?
Go ahead.
A rebuilding team that we haven't mentioned yet, but the New York Knicks have a lot of cap space coming up, and they got some decent young talent.
And it's
Kevin Knox. It's New York. It's the mecca of basketball.
But do we know that Kevin Knox is a decent young talent?
He looks pretty good. I mean, we have to be seen, obviously, because he hasn't played season basketball.
He's had a bad preseason.
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of mention because he's going to get a lot of minutes. We're going to find out if he's good.
He looks like he could be good. He's got all the attributes of that really long dude that can put it all together.
And he's super athletic. In the summer league, he threw down some monster jams.
Mm.
Yeah. And then the preseason, he, again, just was not good at basketball.
Yeah, sounds like Michael.
What's the deal with Paul Zingas? When's he expected back?
There's no timetable.
Depends where they're at Christmas. They probably won't play him if it looks like they can get a high level.
Yeah, I think he'll sit the year out. With such a slender frame as well, it's so hard to build muscle around that joint. Because it was the ACL, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so hard. He'd easily just snap that again.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he's got four wasted years in the NBA.
Yeah.
Is New York the
worst team in the East?
Who?
No, that'd be Atlanta.
I thought we'd agree that Orlando was.
Ouch. Orlando's not going to be the worst.
But Orlando just finds ways to win somehow.
Yeah, we just don't know what Orlando is and how they're going to do anything.
Yeah, what they're going to try to do.
Just because there is no point guard there. DJ Augustine is their point guard. Like Evan Fournier is
See, that's why I think Atlanta could be a better team because they've got Trae Young to run the point. They've got John Collins and Alex Len. Miles Plumlee's not...
But they're not gaining much. Like whatever Trae Young does in his rookie year, and it might be a lot, they lost Schroeder. So like, is he that much better? Is he going to be better than Devin?
Not now.
I don't think so.
Right now.
So it's like, where did they actually improve apart from maybe Prince and Collins being better than they were last year?
Well, if you had... Like if you were GM, you got offered the pick of any of the like these teams, and you go Orlando, Atlanta, Brooklyn, New York, to take a team in the East. Where would you start with? Where would you go
in terms of this year or like as a
So like you're starting as like the general manager this year, and you get to choose out of those four teams. Like where would you go, Oggs?
Can you name the teams again? Atlanta, New York,
New York, Brooklyn, Orlando.
I go Atlanta. I feel like Atlanta at least has a little set that you can work around.
They don't have a first round pick next year.
They've got a lot of
Gotcha. Trae Young's the next Steph Curry.
So hang on, they do. They got Dallas's, didn't they?
They got
Dallas for Doncic. Yeah. So yeah, they do have they have that Dallas pick.
I like the idea of it, of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I see some sort of path. I don't see that with those other teams. I don't know. Like Brooklyn's done a decent job getting out of.
Big time. Where they were
that,
2 years
that
ago.
That crap hole that went down after the Russian dude made all the trades for all those old players.
Yeah. Or that fixer for free.
But New York is New York. And like
that's what I was just thinking. I'd rather live in New York.
I'd rather live in New York.
If the Knicks show that like they have any sort of young talent that can do it and Porzingis can stay fit, like it's not that hard to sell to get another superstar in. And then suddenly like the East isn't strong, so you're a playoff team. Like you add one superstar to that Knicks team. You add Kyrie Irving to that Knicks team, and they're a playoff team. Like,
are they though?
Yes.
Really? Just with Porzingis?
No, and Kyrie.
And Kyrie, those two.
But Porzingis is such you don't know.
Sure.
Maybe. I think Porzingis is relatively proven.
No, I mean in terms of his health now.
Yeah. Sorry, but just because you tear your ACL doesn't mean that you're out for... Like, not everyone's Derrick Rose.
Yao Ming broke his foot and come back.
Still too soon.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Teddy. Wait, are we talking about Derrick Rose?
No, I was talking about Derrick Rose.
Oh, no. Yao Ming is like one of the best centers of all time. Like, he's fine.
For about 3 weeks.
It's not in your top 10.
So, yeah, look, before we end this, I wanted to go around and, you know, this is our first podcast. Again, we're recording this on a Tuesday evening. The season starts tomorrow. You know, as far as the next month of NBA action, what is something that you think could happen? What's your prediction that might be a little bit left, a little bit out in the field? You know, what are we thinking? We start with what was it? What
just out in the paddock?
What I feel like there's a saying I'm trying to think of, out in left field, out of left field. Left field.
That is adorable. Out of left field.
Mate. Out of left. Out of left.
Logan's tired.
I write words for my job.
Tom, I go uni.
We'll start with Tom. What's your, you know, your somewhat out there prediction
that we're going to hold you accountable for?
For the next month of the season. Go ahead.
Jimmy Butler gets into a physical altercation with one of his teammates during a game.
Really?
Ooh, yeah. During a game?
During a game.
He's going to have to bash him because they're not going to spin back.
They're not.
It's going to be assault.
Yeah. Wiggins' brother
first
might.
Degree. What if he comes out of the crowd?
Nick Wiggins out of nowhere.
Yeah, if Jimmy goes at Wiggins, brother doesn't like it, comes out of the sixth row, you know, dodging over people and things like
then
that.
Then Butler will just judo chop him straight up.
Yeah. He's got that spider sense. He'll just roundhouse kick him from behind.
You don't mess with Jimmy Butler.
No. Oh, man.
Who is Jimmy Butler?
That's
a karate legend of Jimmy Butler.
Karate expert.
Okay, so Tom... Jimmy Butler starts, like, does an assault.
Thanks, Tommy.
Gutty, what's your NBA prediction?
Yes, keeping it basketball. not too wild, but I do think that after 1 month of the season, and maybe by the end of the season, Gary Harris will be the front runner and then crowned most improved player.
Gary Harris.
I think he's got all the attributes to be a guy that really steps up this year. I reckon he could kind of be in for All-Star recognition potentially if he plays as well as I think he can
in the West.
So you're thinking by mid-November we're going to be like, oh my, like Gary Harris, my goodness.
Trust in the
chat.
Gary.
In the chat.
So he's in my
fantasy. Seriously, I do think he's going to be a dude that averages over 20 points a game on a Denver team that I think is going to be one of the best offenses in the league as they kind of were last
year. Jokic.
Yeah.
And I think, like, right now people talk about that backcourt and they talk about Murray and they talk about Harris. I think they're going to be talking a lot more about Harris than they are about Murray.
Dang. I'm really high on Jamal Murray.
Well, they've showed their faith in them, haven't they? They signed into a pretty big deal last year.
They signed into a massive deal and everyone was confused. But everyone who...
Not me.
No, most... like, if you understand basketball, you'd be like, yeah, it's a good deal.
Yeah.
I think he averaged around 14 points a game last year, and he looked like a dude that averaged more, which is why I believe like he can put it together.
He hit some huge shots.
He hit some big shots, yeah. And he can score every which way. So that's my take.
Big fan.
Ted?
Was it Tristan Thompson who said the Cavs are still the team to beat?
Yeah.
Okay, wait.
What was he talking about? What are you saying?
Okay, all I'm saying is that I don't think he's... There's a chance he won't look as stupid as he did when he said that 5 or 6 weeks ago. Because I think after a month, we're going to see that the Cavs, although they don't have LeBron, they're going to have a different Kevin Love. They're going to have Timberwolves, Kevin
Minnesota.
Love. Yeah, who put up like really good numbers. J.R. Smith, if I know he always plays relaxed.
Oh, gee.
But I think, you know, there's no pressure.
Fox Sports
there's,
does not condone.
No way, do it. And there's no pressure on any of those players. There's no expectations. We've kind of forgotten that there's some quality basketball players there, and they're in the same like comp as like, the Magic that we just spoke about, Atlanta. Yeah. So after a month,
the easy week.
Okay, here's a question. Mm-hmm. What's the best stat line Kevin Love is going to have within the first month of the season?
Ooh.
Points, rebounds. What's that going to look like?
27 and 18.
I think more than that. 20, I reckon
he picked him up in fantasy.
And Gary Harris.
That's just wishful.
I can see a 30-20 game.
I'm thinking like a 30-20.
Oh, I would love that.
Just a 30-40.
20 in the first month.
He's been
because if he's gonna do it, it's gonna be when he's like, "All right, this is my team." Like, before anyone realizes anything else,
they're limiting his minutes early in the season. But the coach is Tyler still the coach?
Yeah.
He's already said that they're gonna limit his minutes in the start of the season because he's got some heel injury or some foot injury.
All right. Well, on the 29th day, Kevin. 29th day.
He's been every talking head's punching bag for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So.
How weird has have the tables turned now LeBron's gone and it's like, oh, this is Kevin Love's team now.
Yeah.
Like just all of a sudden he's no longer just like LeBron's like boy just there.
Yeah,
he's like, this is your team now. Like you're like Timberwolves Kevin Love.
Colin Sexton's going to ball out too.
I reckon
George Hill is pushed to the bench before the All-Star break.
I'm not on that train.
No.
I don't rate Colin Sexton the way everyone else does. I like that he's fiery.
I don't rate George Hill,
George Hill is...
Might as well play your young talent.
No, I think they should start Colin Sexton. I just don't understand like all the hype around him. I think I like him as just a competitor.
Because he spells his name with two L's. Yeah.
I'll fight you. On a court. Shotgun Jimmy Butler.
What is it about Sexton that's caught your eye?
I love when you see a guy get drafted and they just hate losing so much that they're going to make everyone else in that team better.
Okay.
And I feel like he, even as a young guy, even as a rookie, is going to be able to come into a locker room and make training physical, make training hard, and everyone is just going to be running and pushing because he's just going to be yelling at people.
Yeah. The audience should know that Harrison is Fox Sports Basketball's Mr. Fundamental, so love
the backboard. Look at the back.
Came straight from coaching the team to the podcast, literally.
My counterpoint to that is I remember when Nerlens Noel got picked number 6 and was like, "Oh, every team that selected anyone above me is never gonna forget who I am." I think most people have forgotten who Nerlens Noel is.
I reckon Nerlens Noel's going to have a little.
He might have
a little comeback.
He might have a resurgence.
But he in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, he disappeared for a little while though.
But I think that was the same thing that happened with Michael Carter Williams, where they just didn't manage those young guys very well. Like they had the chance to play him and be like, you know what, you're trying to block everything at the moment. Maybe just try and block some things and don't foul every time.
Pretty sure it was a case of Dallas offered him a contract and he was like, and they were like, okay, I'm gonna play.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
well, when sport meets business.
Yeah. Ted, Harrison, what's your little prediction?
My prediction is I'm going to go back to Orlando again, and the hype around Mo Bamba's wingspan and Jonathan Isaac blocking everyone and Aaron Gordon potentially being an all-defensive player, I think it will be a flop and Orlando will have a bottom five defense.
Wow.
They're going to be garbage on both.
Are you okay?
No.
At the moment?
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not coping with this.
Just for everyone at home, this is probably the most we're ever going to talk about Orlando.
Please come back.
Enjoy it now.
Yeah, sorry, everyone.
If I was going to throw one out there, it's obviously I mentioned it before, I think the Jazz will be the best team in the league at the end of the first month. I think they'll have the best record.
Like that little pause. It's just that little pause.
Yeah, by the end of the first.
I've got a flash.
I think by mid-November, they'll have the best record.
Does Rudy stay healthy the whole year?
As
Rudy Gobert. Sorry.
He's French.
not the whole year, but I think he stays as healthy as he can. I don't know. Like, is he gonna eat a burrito tomorrow? Like, it's the same.
So wait, is every 7 foot
a World Cup with injuries?
Is it considered Donovan's team when they're the best team in the league by the end of the month?
I think it's pretty well regarded. It's Donovan's team.
Should it's Quinn be? Snyder's team.
Okay,
that man is good.
He's.
Like, he can coach.
Does anyone else think that he looks like the 90s Wall Street guy that does a little too much cocaine?
Sure.
Yeah, that slick bag. He looks kind of all sweaty. Like, he's kind of skinny and gaunt the whole time.
He has that look. It's very slick.
Mm.
Yeah, he's got those beady eyes.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It creeps me out to hear him talk, and he seems like such a nice guy, and I look at him, and I get scared. Like,
can coach though.
Can coach.
Yeah. Also,
probably just all that energy he's got.
Before we wrap this up, because we are close to wrapping up. Just on that, is there like a weird new resurgence of coaches in the NBA? From like Quinn Snyder to Brad Stevens, Dwayne Casey won Coach of the Year last year. Brett Brown. I feel like people have moved on, not necessarily moved on from Pop, but you know, Pop was the flag bearer. Now there are these guys who are all, you know, Pop disciples. But now these are really prominent, well-respected head coaches. Are we going through this little phase, like a really cool phase?
Yeah. Do you think there's a connection between the wave of analytics that's coming through with some of those coaches?
For sure? Yeah. The coaches who are embracing analytics are the coaches who seem more well-respected, and it's because their respective teams are performing better. Yeah. So Brett Brown is one of the, you know, biggest proponents of analytics. And that's why, you know, when the trade period came around, they went for Marco Bellinelli, they went for Ersan Ilyasova.
Yeah.
Statistically, two of the best spot shooters in the NBA.
Just get on base, bro.
From an analytics standpoint, they just got both of those dudes, and it worked out really, really well, and they were both really solid for that team.
Big time.
I feel like
they
Brett
improved
Brown
that team heaps last year.
Yep.
Is definitely like a tier below the rest of
the team. Who is
that? Brett is.
You think so?
Really?
He got seriously outcoached against Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah, to Brad Stevens, who's probably like the next best coach.
Yeah, but no Haywood, no Corey. Yeah, you should beat that team.
And I think maybe I'm getting a little too caught up in what happened on the court, but there was
confetti everywhere.
But we need to switch everything because we're so big has gone too far. Like, why are you leaving Covington on Horford on the low block when everyone else is up past the 3-point line on a game-winning shot?
Yeah.
That seems like coaching things that shouldn't be happening to a guy in that next top tier. And, like, there are a couple
Covington's
of plays.
Covington's a lot shorter than Horford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, out of that whole team, that's the only guy you wouldn't want on Horford.
You got a 6-foot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they pulled Joel out to, like, the 3-point line. And he raced out there. He was gone, yeah.
But, like, Simmons, Saric, Embiid, those three, they can switch on everything.
Mm.
But why?
Brad Stevens runs the Celtics. Like, they've been successful for ages. Philly have been stinky for a long time. It was Brown's first finals run. He was learning on the run as well.
Yeah.
You saw that celebration they had when they won their first playoff round. The start of last season, they would have taken that.
Yeah.
So is he as good as the Celtics coach? Probably not. But I think he can. I know he looks heaps old, but I think he can still improve too, given that a lot of what he went through last year was a new experience.
Brett Brown's not that old. Let's put that out there.
He's like coaching the NBL like 15 years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's younger. Like his style is young.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, that's fine. I just been on his birthday.
Totally.
He's spoiled with players.
He's got like
Brad Stevens not.
But like I just mean like
yeah, maybe to like, just you know, be given someone Embiid else could subject to that.
Mm. Yeah, maybe you don't need to be a top tier coach to coach those two guys.
One thing I think, imagine being a coach like that and saying Ben Simmons, here are the keys, and that working out for you. I feel like that's a pretty like gutsy move.
Yeah, Simmons and Embiid aren't conventional NBA stars. Like, like Simmons doesn't have a jump shot. Embiid's a big man. Like, they're not the conventional NBA superstar. So, like, it's not, I don't think it's been, like, the easiest job. But, yeah, I obviously wouldn't argue that he's done a better job than Brad Stevens, for example.
And they look like they like him, too, which is probably the biggest thing. Right?
He's like a nice man. You can tell. He's just like this dude from, like, Massachusetts. Like, he's just a nice dude.
Yeah. No,
like
Brown.
All men from Massachusetts.
Oh. anyway, sorry about that.
Let's end on that. Before we actually wrap this entire thing up and head out of here, shall I go through more of the suggestions we had from Twitter?
Are we coming up with a, like, are we setting something?
We may set something now. We might.
It's risky.
I mean, we might. We might set the name at the start of the next episode.
We're trying, Jenny.
So we've got from Mark Houston. I think he's come through again with sexual Shane Heelan.
That's a good effort.
That'd be so good for an NBL player.
Oh,
Michael Beveridge has come through again with the rights to Ricky Nixon. He says that's some niche Sixers content. Mm-hmm. From the Elbow.
Probably done.
That's not bad, but...
Patrick Ewing. Like, you...
So
this is Michael Beveridge, and now he's given
us,
as you can see, Tom, he's given us segment ideas, which is the Ingles jingle, a little jingle advertising something that week. We have nothing to advertise now, but stay tuned because we do have advertisers coming on
next
month in November, which is an exciting thing. There's the Luke long shot, which is a half court shout wrap up.
That's a long shot to make it in the thing.
And then a quick gaze, which is Gaze has 5 seconds to answer a question. So we just bring Andrew Gaze in to answer a question for 5 seconds and then say, hey, go continue to coach the Kings.
Do you think we have that pool?
Anyone ever limited Andrew Gaze to a 5 second?
Yeah, answer? I was about to say that. Yeah, we push the podcast to 2 hours long.
If you've never been in a...
the first 5 seconds doing body lifting.
That's not really transferable of a podcast, is it? I think it's going to work.
We could describe it. Tom, you could sit there describing it.
All right, the brow is slightly lifted. The shoulders are turned.
If you've never seen or been to an Andrew Gaze press conference, there are three questions, and that thing goes for 15 minutes. It's the craziest thing you'll ever see. He's the nicest man ever. It's just, it's a ride. It's a roller coaster right there. That's it. 10 foot up is the last one we've got.
10 foot up.
I don't understand what this means.
Is that where the ring is?
The heart of the ring, yeah.
Well, I know, I understand. Like,
don't dunk much, do you, bro?
Come on, bro.
Do you?
Yeah. I know that's the ring.
That's all. At the end of this, we're trying. Jennifer has 13 likes.
Wow, everyone's a fan of that one.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
So look,
it's funny.
Because it's gonna, right now.
We're gonna decide this throughout the week. Hopefully we'll have a solidified name for you by next week. In the meantime, enjoy NBA basketball. Tip-off is, Tuesday night. Tip-off is tomorrow. So you've got Sixers at Celtics. You have Thunder at Golden State.
Yes.
Two big matchups. Jeez. Russell Westbrook will not play, apparently, for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Regardless, that's a cool slate of games. LeBron's first game is on Friday, Australian time. Get excited. And please get around this. We're going to be talking about NBA for the foreseeable future. Get around it. Have fun with us. We hope that you have a laugh with us like we have a laugh in here. Mm. Thanks, guys. Yeah,
thanks, Alvin.
Thank you.
All right. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Goodbye.
Next time.
You're
next
slide, Harrison.
Next time.